All right, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to open up and look at what God says about good news, okay? Lord, thanks. Help us to get from you, and because it's from you that we have confidence to take whatever steps we need to walk in that direction. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So what I thought I would do is, I don't know if you've done this, but on our church Facebook, there has been a verse every day. 27 straight days of verses that include the words good news. And so if you want to get familiar with it, they're from three books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all have this idea of good news. Now, it's before that and it's after that. We started out in Isaiah, so hundreds of years before those books came into existence, there was this idea of good news. And it really spans Genesis to the book of Revelation. But we've narrowed it down to these three books because we want to really get a handle on what good news is. And so this morning, I'm going to narrow it down even further. We're not going to look at Matthew and we're not going to look at Luke, but we are going to take the occurrences that it happens in the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bible, your smartphone, your tablet, or if you just have the entire New Testament memorized, open to the Gospel of Mark, the good news of Mark, okay? And I want to start to put a trail together. We're going to start right at the beginning. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, we get our first hint about what the good news is. And it simply says this. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's not a lot of words there, but man, it's a mouthful. This is about the good news about Jesus the Messiah, and Messiah in Jewish terms is this idea of the anointed one. Do you remember when we started, we looked at that Isaiah passage and the Luke passage, that Jesus came into the synagogue and opened up the scrolls, and he opened it up to that Old Testament passage of Isaiah 61, and he started reading about the one who was anointed to bring good news. Well, guess who that was? That was him. And you remember when he finished? When he finished reading that day, like everybody was astonished, but he says, today this is happening right in front of you. This is happening right in your presence. And this verse just confirms it again. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, and then it says this, the Son of God. A phrase that is just loaded with implications. Because if he's God, then what he says is true. If he's God, then as we see him, we're actually seeing, as we look at Jesus, we're seeing the most complete view of who God really is. So it connects good news with Jesus, the Son of God. Pick up a few verses later in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. I didn't have time this morning to go through this whole passage, but mark it down. Read this Mark 1 all the way through verse 14 and 15. Look at that, okay? Because it's setting up a scenario. It tells us about an Old Testament prophecy that says there's going to be one who comes before Jesus to prepare the way. And we know because of the New Testament that that happened to be his cousin. A guy named, have you heard this name before? John the Baptizer. Have you heard that? John the Baptizer was this cousin. And read that passage because it tells you a little bit about John. He lived in the wilderness, he wore funky clothing, and he ate funky food. But he had a really clear message. World, get ready. The Messiah is coming. Get ready. The one that you've heard about all these hundreds of years is coming. But let me just read verse 14, okay? Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he, Jesus, preached God's good news. Now, the reason I put this in here is because even though it's good news from God, it's not always easy news. Okay? As Americans, we just want it to be shiny all the time, right? God's saying good news comes with a cost. And good news is not always easy news. Anybody here know what happened to John the Baptist? He got arrested. He got released the next day. He went to court. They, you know, threw the charges off. Or did something else happen? Yeah. Gets arrested. Eventually loses his head. Like, simply because he spoke the truth. Right? The reason I put this in there is not just the connection of these two cousins. So can you picture this? Can you picture these two cousins? And I love this passage, because it's in this passage that John says, I come not because I'm the one that's prophesied about. I'm coming to tell you about him, and I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals, to lace up his sandals. I shouldn't even be in his presence. But I'm doing this to say the good news is somehow connected with Jesus, the Son of God. And with that good news, even if we're connected with him, it's not going to be easy. Well, Sash, put up the next verse, verse 15. Because this is the next verse. Verse 14, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. And then he says these words, repent of your sins and believe in the good news. That's what he says. Here it is. You want to know what it is? Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Well, believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he came to preach good news. We looked at that Isaiah passage and the Luke passage, and it said these kind of things. It's good news if you're captive to be set free. It's good news if you're blind to have sight. It's good news if you got this huge weight on your shoulder that God can lift the weight off your shoulder. It's good news that God's there and that he cares and that he works in our lives. I think these three verses, these three passages that use the idea of good news in it are really an introduction to all of us about what good news is. Good news is connected to Jesus. Good news doesn't mean it's always easy news. And good news is about the kingdom of God that's near. It's here now. So, it's not in heaven someday. It's here now. God's kingdom is here. And here's what you knew. Here's what you need to do. I love this. Repent of your sins. This is what God's saying. Get everything else out of the way. Get everything else out of the way. And start living in the good news. I think in Mark, this is God's introduction to us about what good news is. There's a couple more verses that I want to look at too. And it takes us to the next step. It's not this introduction of the good news is connected to Jesus. It's not always easy. Get things out of the way so you can embrace it. It starts to tell us now what that good news looks like in our lives. So several chapters later, Mark chapter 8, verse 35. If you try and hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. We spent some time a year ago in this idea, and we know, because we looked at it then, that there's actually two words for life here, okay? There's this idea of life that we were born, and then we live, and we die. That's one of the words of life that are in this verse. But then he talks about a different life. It's a life that connects with God, and because it's connected with God, it goes on forever. That's what he's talking about here. You want to hold on to this life, this one that you're born and you live and die? If you want to try and hold on to it, you can try all you want to hold on to it, but it's going to slip through our fingers. But if you're willing to embrace a bigger life, then you're going to get this life and this forever life. And it's connected to the good news. So he's starting to give us an idea about what good news means. Good news doesn't mean just do anything you want and God's got you. Good news means make a choice about life or life. And if you choose life, then the good news is you get that. You get it all. You get this life in a different way. Now, this is the verse that we looked at last week. So, Sash, put the next verse up. And I'm going to come back and look at this verse a little bit more. Mark 10, 29, 30. Do you remember what this came out of? This was there was a story of the young man who ran up, dropped on his knees, and said to Jesus, what do I have to do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, well, have you kept the commandments? Yeah, I've done pretty good at that. So when I heard that, I didn't think he was bragging. I thought he was trying to be as honest as he possibly could. And then Jesus said, well, there's one more thing you need to do. Go and sell all you have and give it to the poor and then follow me. Remember that word that he used, follow me. And it says in that passage that Jesus had genuine love for this young man. But the young man sadly walked away. And then Jesus has this dialogue. Yes, Jesus replied, I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property. I want you to get ready to say amen. Along with persecution. Ouch. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. I think the first three verses are introducing us to this idea that the good news is connected to Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And it's not easy, but man, it changes everything. I think these verses take it a step further. They talk to us about choices. They talk to us about some sad things. Some honest struggles. It talks to us about sacrifices. At the end of it, I want to say, I thought you said this was good news. I thought you said this was going to be good news. Let me take you to the third set of verses, okay? Mark chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. You'll be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You'll stand trial before governors and kings. Because you're my followers. Remember what he said to that young man? And again, we don't know what happened to that young man after that. We know that day was a tough day for him. But we've all had tough days. And sometime in the future, we've come back to that tough day and we've made a different decision. So we don't know that. He's talking to us in the same way. He's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing to us. Part of this good news is connected with the Son of God. It's not easy. But man, it opens a whole world to you, a whole different world. But know this, there's a cost. Not just a sacrifice, there's a cost that goes with this. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. For the good news must first be preached to all the nations. It's interesting because the first set of verses in Mark, early on, it's just talking to you and me about what it is. And then it starts to invite us into the good news, the second set of verses. But now it talks about us sharing the good news. It talks about you and me starting to share this. This is what I know about God. In my life, He constantly turns the world upside down so I see it from His view. Like I think I got a pretty good view of it. And then right when I think I got a pretty good view, He tilts the axis a little bit more and I go, oh, I did not see that. In fact, I saw it the opposite of that. Well, this is when He's turning the world upside down. He's saying, your cost, your pain will be an opportunity to share the good news. Like if you know it and you show it, then you can start stepping into this next phase, which is sharing it. Doesn't make sense. Good news with pain. It doesn't make sense. It's because God turns the world and lets us see in a different way. There's one more verse I want to share with you, or two more verses. Mark 14:9. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. We looked at this passage just a few months ago. She's in a house. Lady comes in, there's an expensive jar of perfume, and she breaks it and pours it over his head, and it runs from his head all the way down his body and into the dirt floor of the house. Do you remember this? And somebody said, hey, remember who it was? Judas. Judas said, you know what? Why did you do that? We could have sold that and we could have fed a lot of the poor. And Jesus said something that was real interesting there. He said, you'll have the poor forever. But what you don't know is this is anointing me for my death, burial, and resurrection. It's anointing me. So I don't know if she knew what she was doing, but God's Spirit led her to do this. And what she was doing was this beautiful thing for the Christ. And this is what he says. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. So what's he saying? What's he saying about the good news? The good news has a cost. The good news has this movement by God's Holy Spirit that it never tells that this woman knew why she was doing it, but she felt led by God's Spirit to take this perfume and anoint Christ. Good news has a cost. It has a work of God's Spirit in our life. Give me the last verse, Sash. Mark 16:15, and then he, the resurrected Christ, told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So you see, just in this handful of verses, just from Mark 1 to Mark 16, like the first chapter in Mark till the last chapter, we get this progression. We get this expansion that starts with us. It starts in our lives. Hey, do you know that Jesus is the good news? He's the Son of God. Yeah, he's going to preach it. And what he preaches, get everything out of the way and embrace this kingdom. He's throwing it in front of you. Doesn't mean it won't cost you. Doesn't mean there won't be a struggle. But that good news will change your life. And when it changes your life, wherever you go, share it. This talks about go into all the world, preach the good news. We're in a month where we're focusing on missions, and if you're a regular part of our church, you know this is going to happen. This is one of the 2 months that we actually pass our offering 2 times. The first one is just our regular offering. The second one is for our missions. Because we raise our financial support for our missionaries primarily in those 2 months. And I think our base for missions is about $16,000. Last year we spent about $33,000 in missions. It's because we believe these words. It's because we believe that, listen, we believe that Jesus Christ is the good news. He's the Son of God. And it's not going to be easy at times, but it opens up this world, this kingdom of God that would never have been open to us. It allows us to see life in a different way. Sometimes it's even a mystery why, that God's Spirit will just say, hey, I need you to do this. There's a friend of mine who I've known now for probably 10 years. And we've talked occasionally about spiritual things. He didn't grow up in church, not connected with it. His mom, once he became an adult, came to know Jesus Christ. So that kind of sparked his curiosity as something's going on in my mom's life. And then we met and started to become friends. And most people, when I meet them outside of church, unless you introduce me as a pastor, they don't know I'm a pastor. Which is just great, man. It brings such great moments in my life. Because when they find out that I'm a pastor, they start rethinking through, what have I said in front of this guy? Which is like perfect. I love to see that panic look in their eyes, you know. And then I know it's coming somewhere along the line. I am so sorry. What are you sorry for? Well, I swore in front of you. Well, you know, you weren't swearing at me, were you? No, then you don't need to apologize for that. Well, this guy I became good friends with, and he found out that I was a pastor and that I was a Christian, and so then we started to have some conversations. And what I wanted to do was share the good news with him, but I didn't want to push in. So I just kind of waited until he asked questions. And he would progressively, he'd ask questions. I remember one day he was talking about a different world religion, one that he was connected with. And he said, so really the difference in Christianity in this is mostly Jesus Christ. And I said, yeah. So I've watched him take his eyes and look at the good news that's connected with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And over the last several years, I've seen him go from questions to now he, over the last couple of years, he reads his Bible every morning. And so I'll get a text, who is Theophilus? And I just text back that deep theology. It means the office-looking kid you've ever seen, right? Deep theology. Well, then we started to have conversation. He said to me, hey, sometime we need to sit down and talk. Well, I wasn't going to push it. You know, like, there's a part of me that wants to go, okay, set the date right now. A couple months ago, we sat down and talked. Listen to what he said. He goes, you know, I've come to this place now where I've decided what I'm going to do is anytime something comes up in my life, instead of acting or reacting, I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to find out if God says anything about that. I'm going to try my best to do that rather than what I would have done. And I just said to him, man, your theology is so screwed up. No, I didn't. I said, are you kidding me? No, that's what I've decided. How's it going? Well, mostly good. Sometimes it's a struggle. Mostly good. So, you know, Pastor Steve's headed down to Haiti. We're going to pay for the pastor's meals, remember? And we had missions, offerings already happening, and I'm starting to do my fretting thing already. Oh, man, how are we going to do this? I get a text from this guy. Let me just say, this guy over the years has texted me and said, hey, do you have any needs? If there's a need, I'll tell him what it is. And then he'll send a check to the church. And I noticed one time that when he sends the check, it's out of this WWJD account from his business. So he texts me and he said, hey, do you have any needs? And I said, I wasn't thinking about the missions need at all. And I said, no. Well, this is the first thing I said. Hey, listen, I don't want every time you text me to be about some need, you know? Like, I want our relationship to be more than that. And he texts me back, could you just let me decide about that part? Like, can you just tell me the need? And then I'll make a decision about it. Which, that's fighting words to me, man. Don't you? No, I didn't. So I text back and I said, you know, we really don't have anything right now. And he texts me back, well, there'll be a check in the mail next week. Check in the mail? Okay, so there's this lady that takes perfume and anoints Jesus, and she doesn't understand why, but Jesus makes this statement. Every time you hear about the good news, somebody doing something for someone else, somebody doing something that's bigger than them, something that's God-directed, they don't even have to understand it, but they just do it. Every time you hear about that, you're going to hear about this woman. That's what I thought of when I thought of this guy. He had no clue that that money that he was giving was going to feed these pastors. Steve's been telling me a little bit about this pastor's training. Remember, these are completely uneducated pastors who just know God, love Him, and want to learn more and want to lead their people. Many of them can't read. Many of them who read, it's always funny when you go to a country like Haiti. Deb and I, one of the first things that we noticed was they have globes that tourists can buy. Globes, have you seen those globes? The wooden ones. And then it's all the continents and all the countries. Except Haiti on this globe is bigger than the United States of America. They're just stuck. They're stuck here. But they have the good news. And they want to share it. So we have a pastor from our church going down to help these guys. And some guy who's never met them before says, I don't know why, but I really feel like God wants me to do this. That's why he invites us, after we know the good news about Jesus Christ, to share the good news. So I want to go back to the passage that we looked at last week, and I just want to run through it really quick again. Jesus looked around at his disciples. How hard it is for rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. This amazed them, but Jesus said again, dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Theologians, that's really a camel, and that's really a needle. He's setting up the impossible. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. So I just want to say to the people who raised their hand for the second time of prayer, that I don't necessarily know why you raised your hand, but I hope you grab onto these words. I hope you grab onto whatever situation you have going on in your world, in your life, whatever pain is there, whatever struggle, I hope you grab onto these words. Because this is about knowing the good news, showing it, and being able to share it. And somehow, out of us being arrested and beaten, it gives us the opportunity to share the good news. Somehow, if you go through this struggle, whatever it is, somehow in the depth of this pain, somehow God's going to give you a platform to share the good news in ways that you couldn't have before, in ways maybe that other people can't. Because somehow in this, whatever was humanly impossible is possible with God. But not with God, everything is possible. And Peter began to speak, we've given up everything to follow you. Little did he know what it meant to give up everything. He would know, right? He would know that. And I've been at that place, man, God, you know, I think I just have given up everything I know. And 2 or 3 years later, I look back and say, I really didn't know. And I'm sure 2 or 3 years after that, I'll look and say, I really didn't know. But he's telling the truth. We gave up our professions. That's what he's saying. We gave up our comfort of our home life, and we're following you. And Jesus said, yes, and I assure you, everyone who has given up a house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will receive now and return 100 times as many brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property along with persecution. In the world to come, that person will have eternal life. So I want to squeeze down what I was looking at last week. Okay, so Sasha, go to the last slide. Mark starts off with telling us what the good news is about, and then it talks about us embracing that good news. And then it talks about us not only embracing the good news, but sharing that good news. So I want to milk down for us, what does it mean to share the good news? Here's the ways you and I can share the good news. We share the good news, first of all, by believing God can do things that are bigger than us. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. When I get a call from somebody that's connected with our church family or somebody in the community that I know, and they're in a crisis, if they're at the hospital, somebody they know's been in an accident, and I walk into the emergency room with all the friends and family of this person there, and they're looking for something, anything, that's better than what they've been living in for the last minutes or hours. There's this moment that I say, what am I going to do? Like I can't promise them that their loved one, that their best friend is going to come out of this. I can't make that promise. I'd love to be able to say that, don't worry, everything will be okay. In that moment of panic, then I'm reminded of this. What's impossible with us is possible with God. And I know at that moment I can bring faith. I can bring hope. Even if the people are there have no connection with God at all, they have no faith at all, I'm telling you, the atmosphere in the room changes once a Christian walks in who believes that God can do anything. I know what hopeless looks like, and I know what hope looks like, and I can see it in their eyes. I know what fear looks like, and I know what faith looks like, and I can see it in people's eyes. And you can too. It's not me. You can see it too. Here's the good news. In a time of terrible news, here's the good news. I have a God that can do the impossible. And if you can't, I will. If you can't pray at this moment because you don't know even what to say, I do. God, please, this family's desperate. What the doctor said, you know, there's nothing else they can do. I get that. They're human beings just like you and me. And what's impossible with human beings is not all there is, because there's a God greater. You want to know how to share the good news? Believe more. I don't know if I can believe enough. Yeah, God takes care of that too. He knows that. And so He helps our unbelief. That's what Scripture says. He helps our unbelief. Because He knows there's a pastor in Rockford, Illinois. He's going to walk into a hospital of people who need Him and has a moment of, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I share the good news by believing more. So that would be a question right now for you. Do you believe more today than you did yesterday, 6 months ago, a year ago? Because if the answer is yes, you're right on course to share the good news. I share the good news by believing more. Here's the second one. I share the good news by loving more. When in doubt, love. Right? When in doubt, love. Deb says to me every time we go up to the hospital in those situations, nobody's ever told us not to pray for them. When in doubt, love more. You know, this love level is so subjective, right? Depends on where you came from. Depends on who you are. I'm not asking you, are you a 1, a 2, a 7, a 10, a 100? I'm not asking you that. I'm just asking you this. Do you love more today than you did yesterday? Do you love more today than you did 6 months ago? Do you love more today than you did a year ago? You want to share the good news? Even when things are rough in your life, you want to just love more. Kevin went in for surgery a while ago. And he had all of his friends from our youth group that came up. And medical professionals here, doctors and nurses, just kind of plug your ears, okay? I think the rule is two people can be in the room, right? So two would go down, and then I'm supposed to go get those two out and bring two more in. And so I just stopped bringing two out. Yeah. And I'd said to all of them, you better be as quiet, because we were at a hospital where you're not in individual rooms. There's just dividers. There's wall dividers and these curtains. So can you imagine high school boys behind a curtain at a hospital? And like before they got there, Kev's just kind of, yeah, I got to go through the surgery. I noticed as soon as they came in, man, he started to perk up. And he's about to go in for brain surgery, okay? They're about to cut this long line from his spine up into his skull. He's about to do that. So I can understand that, right? Until the rest of these guys got there. And then, you know, as soon as they walk in, they start making fun of his hospital gown, you know. Hey, give him his drugs now so we can ask him whatever questions we want to ask him. So I said to him, you guys need to hold it down. Be quiet. And just before they take him, I'm going to bring the parents back down, Dan and Mindy, and you guys are going to have to clear out. But you better be quiet. While the nurse and the anesthesiologist came in, opened the curtain. Doo-doo! You know, Mormon Tabernacle Choir there. They know the rules. You know what the nurse decided? The nurse decided in Kevin's well-being, maybe not in the well-being of all the other patients that were waiting, but in Kevin's well-being, this is the right thing to do. Like, the rule is two. Well, we're just going to put a zero behind that. You know what that is to me? That's loving. These guys showing up for Kevin, that was them loving more. That was them saying, Jesus Christ touched my heart, and I'm going to love you in a moment that's tough. Listen, you think that's tough for us as adults? How tough do you think it is for high school boys? And they all just came in and laid down and, no, they didn't hug him, no. Shave his head. All those things meant this one thing. We love you. We love you. The good news touched us, and we want to be good news to you. Believe more, love more. Here's a third one. This one's not going to be as easy. Serve more. I think this is what happens when the good news, when you know it and start showing it and you start to share it, one of the ways that you share it is serving. One of the ways you share it is there's that need. You know, I can do that. I can take care of that. Like, there are things I can't, so I'm going to believe God to do those, but there are things that I can. And so I'm going to serve. I'm going to find out what a need is, and I'm going to serve that need. Does this make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Like, that whole picture of the young man who came and fell down and desperately wanted to know what the kingdom of God was all about. Jesus uses a picture for us. I know this is hard. I know it's not easy. I know you've got a lot of money and you don't want to give it all to the poor and come and follow me. I understand what I'm asking you is dramatic. It's huge. But then he goes on and talks to the people who had decided to follow him. Listen, you want to know what it is? It is about that. It is about believing more. It is about loving more. It is about serving more. And that's what you see in his followers. Like, they scrambled, they struggled right then, right? They were struggling. And then when he died, they struggled. When he rose again, they still were confused. And then Pentecost came, and then they preached that first message. And then before you knew it, they had turned the world upside down. Because they got the good news. The good news changed them. And people saw that. Because this group of people believed more and they loved more and they served more. Like, they were willing to share everything they had. So I think, Sasha, there's one more slide. That's it. Yeah, that's the good news. Let's start in Genesis 1:1, okay? This is about know, show, and share. That's what it's about. Know the good news. Show it. And share it. And this week, the share is in my world. Not the world. We'll look at that next week. It's in my world. So looking at those three things, in your world, in my daily world, am I believing more, loving more, serving more? If I am, then I'm sharing the good news.